Again, what a blessing to be together again. I can see your shining faces through the phone line. Mm-hmm. We're going to start in Philippians chapter 3. Start in verse 13. The title of tonight's teaching is called Remembering to Forget.
That's good.
Remembering to Forget. And of course, Philippians 3:13, 14 are the classic verses in the New Testament. We'll be reading from the New King James Version. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I also wanted to read the NIV, New International Version, which says, Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This probably comes as no surprise, but as human beings, or as our friend of ours say, carbon-based units, we tend to remember what we need to forget, and we forget what we need to remember. God, on the other hand, forgets what he promises to forget, and he remembers what he promises to remember. And a great verse along those lines is in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17. Let me say that again. As humans, we tend to remember what we need to forget and forget what we need to remember. Thankfully, I'll let you say, but God, on the other hand, forgets what he promises to forget and remembers what he promises to remember. That verse in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17 goes ahead and says, their sins and lawless acts I will remember. How long?
No more.
No more. I will remember them no more. So, looking back at those verses in Philippians, that Paul tells us one of the secrets to his success as a believer in life was that one thing he did. I mean, imagine amongst other things that he did. But certainly he said, one thing I do, I'm going to forget what is behind. I'm going to push forward for what is ahead. I press on for the goal to win the prize which God has called me in Christ Jesus. And you know, there are several places in the Bible where God tells us that he forgets our sins and remembers them no more. That sounds familiar to you, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Just a quick reference, Jeremiah 31:34, which we'll not look at the moment. And then also in Isaiah 43:25. But here's a good question. How does an all-knowing God forget? Well, you know, there are many events in the Bible that begin with the words, God remembered. In Genesis 8:1, it says, God remembered Noah. In Genesis 19:29, it says, he, God, remembered Abraham. In Genesis 30:22, it says, God remembered Rachel. Exodus 2:24, God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. In each one of these records, God's remembering meant that he was about to do something. God was about to act. Therefore, if God's remembering means he is about to act, then God's forgetting means that he is not going to act. Hmm. That verse again in Jeremiah 31:34, let's go ahead and have a look at that. It's a good one. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31. That's probably a clean part of your Bible. 34. Yeah, the latter part of that verse. We'll read the whole thing. What am I reading from? The NIV, I think. Yeah, NIV. 34 says, no longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and what? Remember their sins no more. That's really something. He's not going to act. He says, for I will forgive their wickedness, he says, and will remember their sins no more. You know, when he forgets our sins, he's not going to act on them, is he?
Nope.
Nope. And, you know, in many instances, you know, while we cannot physically forget the details of the wounds of things that have been done to us, we can choose to not act on them. We can choose to forgive the person who has hurt us and not allow the memory of that offense to control our lives. And in that sense, we can forgive and forget. And so when Paul talks about forgetting, he does not mean that he will or even can wipe an incident completely from his memory. One of the reference materials, the Zondervan NIV commentary of the New Testament, says, forgetting did not mean obliterating the memory of his past, but it was a conscious refusal to let it absorb his attention and impede his progress. You know, Paul refused to allow anything from his past to control his present. He could talk about it, but without pain, without malice, and without any type of revenge. But it's too hard, you might say. Well, guess what? God will never tell us to do something that he will never not give us the power to do. He has instructed us to forgive, so he will give us the power to do it. He has instructed us to leave the past behind, so he will give us the power to do so, as you remember in Philippians 4:13, where it says, what? I can do all things through Christ. I like that verse. Many times we would take that verse apart and put emphasis on each word. I can do, I can do, I can do all, I can do all things. I can do all things through, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And the emphasis there is really not on I can do it, but that I'm taking that power through Christ who gives me strength. I think someone shared recently, maybe as Mike was sharing the literal from the Amplified of that verse, that Christ who infuses me with inner strength. You know, when any type of material, be it wine or olive oil or anything else that's had an infusion, it becomes a part of that, the quality of whatever the original material was changes in its characteristics. And, you know, another great example is pickling. You take a cucumber, you cut it up, you put it in a solution, and that pickle absorbs all of the material. But it's no longer a cucumber, is it?
No.
It's a pickle. Yeah. The whole nature of that cucumber has completely changed. Just think about the infusion of Christ within us. We have been completely changed. We have a completely new nature. I think our part of our struggle is just learning how to adjust to it and transition into the new life. When we live many times, long time, being influenced by the world and being, you know, build a lot of habit patterns according to something that wasn't the new nature. You know, in Isaiah 28:24, let's look there. Right before Jeremiah, Isaiah, a couple of great prophets there in the Old Testament, Isaiah 28. Yeah. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And all things means what? all things. All those things that God has called us to do. And Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 28:24, when a farmer plows for planting, does he plow continually? Does he keep on breaking up and harrowing the soil?
Nope.
When he has leveled the surface, does he not sow caraway and scatter cumin? Does he not plant wheat in its place, barley in its plot, and spelt in its field? A simple truth, but a real truth, is that for far too many of us, we have plowed and plowed and replowed the ground far too long. We've been telling and retelling stories of what was done and how it was done, going over the same ground and stirring up the dirt into a giant dust bowl. But there comes a point when it's time to stop plowing up the ground and start planting seeds, because until then, we will never see a harvest. Today, maybe after this teaching, or maybe right now, you can ask God, I'll ask God, if there's anybody or somebody I need to forgive, that's something you need to forget, or if there's some ground you need to cease plowing. Then give the memory to God and ask Him to plant good seeds for an incredible harvest. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. You and I can quote this verse, many of us. We've repeated it over and over and over again many, many, many times. And what it says in Ephesians 4:32 is, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one each other, just as God in Christ Jesus hath forgiven you. Let's see, that's the NIV. The King James, I think, says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ Jesus hath forgiven you. Amen?
Amen.
The Phillips translation is another translation of the Bible. It says, let there be no more resentment, no more anger or temper, no more violent self-assertiveness, no more slander, no more malicious remarks. Be kind to each other, be understanding, be ready to forgive others as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Wow. And finally, for that verse, I got another one. It says, make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with one another and sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. I once heard a wonderful man, our father in the Word, who said, you'll never have a problem forgiving others when you remember what God forgave you for. Amen?
Amen?
Amen to that. You know, when God looks at us, He looks and sees through the lens of the sacrificial work of His Son, Jesus Christ. I sometimes have said, God looks through Christ-colored glasses. He doesn't see our failure. He doesn't see our weakness. He doesn't see our sin. He sees what Christ has accomplished on our behalf, which has now given us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that is how we can see each other too. And that is going to be one of the foundational keys of us being able to live harmoniously together in the body of Christ. That we're not picking each other apart. We're doing those things that to build and to strengthen and to edify and to cause a brother and sister not to stumble, but to grow up more fully and to mature in Christ. I want to close in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Great exhortation from God that I think makes is timely. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. New King James Version says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And deep breath, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. I can do all things through Christ who infuses inner strength into me. And one of the things, the beautiful things about our walk and lifestyle in this day and time is that we can remember to forget. Heavenly Father, again, we praise you, we thank you, we just uphold your mighty throne of grace, Father, and just remember who we are as your children, and that you love us so unconditionally, Father, and thank the Lord Jesus Christ for his great work on our behalf and all the things that we've been able to receive as a result of that. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.